Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks let a 2-0 lead slip away and allow 5 unanswered goals to the Boston Bruins, dropping their 3rd game in a row on Centennial Celebration Night here to celebrate the banner years chapter of the 2010, 13, and 15 Stanley Cup winning teams for the Blackhawks. 25-plus of Stanley Cup winners from those teams were in the building, the alumni, and it was a great energy in here, but unfortunately the Hawks were not able to come away with a victory. I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy to help us break down this game. Steve, it was there was an aura around this game, which kind of started on Thursday night with Duncan Keith and Marian Hossa in the building, kind of setting up the nostalgic game tonight with all the cup winners in the building, or as many as they could. Obviously, Patrick Kane, John, and the Taves, they're still playing, so they weren't able to be part of this. But it's unfortunate the Hawks weren't able to get a win in this game, because it felt like it was a celebration not just of those great winning teams, but just kind of an opportunity to kind of look back and for the Blackhawks to make a statement in the game tonight to kind of set the tone for the new generations, but unfortunately they weren't able to do that.
Yeah, I think they realized that those guys that came before them, and you know, that 2015 Stanley Cup is now 11 years past, so, but they were youngsters growing up, I'm sure, watching it, and they set a pretty high bar. But there was a blueprint there, and the Blackhawks are trying to follow that blueprint. Unfortunately, tonight they came up a little short. I know they led after 20 minutes, but I still think Boston outplayed them in that first 20 minutes of hockey. Of course, the Blackhawks got a power play goal, which certainly helped. Well, it was at the end of a power play, so technically it was not a power play goal. But I thought Arvid Soderblom was really, really good early, and that was part of the reason they were up 2-0. Boston impressed me with their board battles, and they've got that battle mentality and some big forwards who are relentless on the puck and relentless on the boards. And when you come up with those loose pucks on the boards, you're going to get some looks. And, you know, I know the shots were 24-23 in favor of the Blackhawks, but it just seemed that some of the prime looks that the Boston Bruins were getting just came off of those, you know, winning battles in those dirty areas.
That first period was kind of weird because Boston recorded the first 8 shots on goal of the game. Mm-hmm. Arvid Soderblom, like you mentioned, came up with some big-time saves, the one specifically on David Pastrnak. I don't know how he was able to get his left pad on it and also not let it, the momentum, kind of carry it into the net. But the Hawks score the next the 2 goals after to go up 2-0, and they record the final 6 shots on goal of that first period. But it still felt like Boston was the better team in that first period, and it's almost like you knew that there was going to be a correction coming in that second period, and we saw them score 3 in that middle frame.
Yeah, and what I like about them, too, is they're a patient team. They're a veteran team, and I know they made a lot of trades, and we talked about they got rid of Brad Marchand last year and Brendan Carlo and Charlie Coyle and Trent Frederick and Justin Brazeau. But the guys who came in, they're playing important roles. And you know, you just looked on a couple of those goals. Fraser Minton, I didn't realize what a good player he was. He never really got a chance in Toronto. He's getting a chance here, looking really good. Murat Husnadinov, the kid who was playing in Minnesota for 3 years, parts of 3 years, never really got a chance there. He's getting a chance here with David Pastrnak. I mean, that couldn't have been a better setup for him, because those two seem to have a lot of chemistry together. And, you know, Casey Mittelstadt, I haven't seen him play that well in a long, long time. And, of course, longtime Boston Bruin. He came over from the Colorado Avalanche and again tonight played really well. So I got to hand it to this Boston team. We don't see him an awful lot. We know that they've won 6 in a row now and 7 of their last 8. So they're for real, and they've got goaltending. Again, Korpisalo did it tonight. Jeremy Swayman's having another really strong year. So, you know, they checked all the boxes tonight. Their 5-on-5 play was outstanding, and the fact that they didn't panic after they were down 2-0, I think really helped them win this hockey game.
Yeah, Boston came into this game on a 5-game winning streak, and they were outscoring their opponents 22-5 over that stretch. So now they extend it to 6 games, outscoring opponents 27-7 in that stretch for a plus 20 goal differential. So they're certainly starting to feel themselves. So Steve, when I got to the rink today, It was about 2 hours and 20 minutes before 7 o'clock, before the start of the game.
So 4:40.
Yes. I was going to say from the start of puck drop, but because puck drop was at 7:18, I'm like, that's technically not the correct term. Right. So I got here around 4:40, and there was a line for the atrium to set up for the pregame Q&A with some of the cup winners from the 2010, 13, and 15 teams. Mm-hmm. All the way along Madison, wrapped around the building. I've never seen the line that big before, that early before a game, and boy, probably since the Stanley Cup years, honestly. And so it was there was a cool energy in the building that kind of culminated early on. And we were here at Morning Skate, and we saw, you know, Dustin Byfuglien and Brent Seabrook and Colin Fraser, like all these players that we haven't seen in a really long time. They were here with their families too. So I think that when we were talking to Colin up here in the first intermission, he was saying like all the families are here too, where when they were winning Stanley Cups, most of them were single in 2010, 2013. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that all the families kind of get to share this moment. And Colin was joking with us in the first intermission that, you know, that his kids wanted pictures with Connor Bedard and stuff after the game. It's like, yeah, their dad isn't cool. Their dad has three rings. And despite the outcome, it was still a really cool night to celebrate those three Stanley Cup winning teams.
Yeah, and I wonder, and I'm not making excuses here, I wonder if that puts a little more pressure on the home team too, and on the Blackhawks. You know, you got three Stanley Cups teams that represented that were represented by the Blackhawks, who won those three cups, and there was, what you said, 30 guys here, and you know, obviously that's the blueprint, and that's where they ultimately want to be. But, you know, you also realize that you haven't made the playoffs in a little while, and, you know, you're still a little ways to get to that. So puts a little bit of pressure on you. That's not an excuse, though, because they did have the 2-0 lead. They just couldn't shut it down. You know, I couldn't believe I showed up at 5 o'clock, 2 hours before the game, and there was a traffic jam just trying to get to the United Center. And I think that, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to the people. It was maybe 10 degrees outside with the wind chill, and they were standing out there just waiting to get in. So I think they loved the ceremony. The Blackhawks knocked it out of the park again, as they've done all year long. Unfortunately, you know, came up a little short on the scoreboard.
You know, that's an interesting point that you just made, and I kind of want to dig into it, because you mentioned maybe the lack of strong start by the Blackhawks in this game. When the home team is hosting a ceremony like that, especially when it's a ceremony of this magnitude where the Stanley Cup was in the building, I mean, it's just sitting there at center ice. Side note, when the cup winners ended up leaving the ice, Nick Foligno was there to kind of fist bump all the players and kind of, you know, obviously he was showing them respect too. Mm-hmm. But when Brent Seabrook came walking the Stanley Cup, Nick Foligno, like he got out of the way, and he hit Seabrook's shoulder because he didn't want anything to touch that Stanley Cup, obviously out of superstition. But you know, the start of the game, I wonder, when it's the home team, the Blackhawks ended up coming out onto the bench to watch the ceremony, yeah. Whereas the visiting team, they stay in there and they're just kind of ready to get the game going. But when you're the home team and you're watching the ceremony, you just get so caught up and wrapped up into the what's going on. So maybe that was a result of the slow start.
Yeah, maybe you get a little distracted by that. And you're right. I watched that too. And the Boston Bruins all stayed in the dressing room, and they just, you know, talked about getting ready for this hockey game. And then when they came out, they took a couple of quick laps, and it was time to drop the puck. So one other thing I did note, though, and I thought it was kind of cool, Nikita Zadorov, who played here with the Chicago Blackhawks, made sure he skated over and he was shaking hands with Duncan Keith, because I think Duncan Keith was one of those guys who kind of welcomed him in. It was well after the Stanley Cup years, but kind of welcomed into the Blackhawks and showed him the ropes.
Yeah, I do remember that. There was that one year, it was during the COVID year, where all the interviews were happening via Zoom, so we like never got to actually meet Nikita Zadorov as a member. He probably has no idea I exist, and I covered him for a year, so it's kind of funny. So it was a cool centennial celebration night. Stanley Cup was in the building. That always kind of brings the energy out. And so it's a crazy Chicago. The next 3 days are going to be crazy in Chicago sports. So we had this happening tonight. Tomorrow, the Chicago Bears are obviously hosting the LA Rams, and if they win that game, they go to the NFC Championship game. And by the way, Connor Bedard entered the arena today in a decked-out, full-orange Caleb Williams jersey. The NHL posted this video on Instagram, and Caleb Williams shared it on his Instagram story and kind of acknowledged Connor Bedard. And so I thought that was a cool moment of two number one overall picks in the Chicago sports kind of having that relationship and building that relationship. And then on Monday, we have Jonathan Toews returning to the United Center for the first time as a visitor. So there's just a lot going on in Chicago sports. And I imagine a lot of the Stanley Cup winners that were in town tonight are going to be staying for Monday's game as well to see Johnny's game here against the Blackhawks.
You know, I didn't actually ask them that, but I think I heard that from you the last game. And it makes sense because maybe some of them might go to the Bears game tomorrow. Who knows? And then they'll stick around, obviously, for the Winnipeg game. And I'm just quickly looking at the schedule. So they got Winnipeg. Winnipeg's playing well. They got another point tonight, but so they got four wins and an overtime loss their last five. Then they go to Carolina, which is always tough. Then Tampa Bay comes in, Florida comes in. Then they go to Minnesota and Pittsburgh. So this next stretch of games over the next couple of weeks, this is all leading up to the Olympic break. It's going to be tough, and the Blackhawks have to find a way because you know, right now that's three losses in a row. And you know, prior to that, we were talking about you know six wins in seven games, and they were just on the cusp of making it to the playoffs. That's one thing about these standings now, that they're so tight and they're so packed that you go on a 3-4 game losing streak, all of a sudden you find yourself you know just a little too far behind.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. And then they got Pittsburgh on the road, Columbus, who they just obviously made the coaching change with Rick Bowness, and I believe they're 3-0 since they made the coaching. I know they've won their first two. I don't know what they did in the third game, but that's a great point that the Hawks' schedule is getting really difficult, and they have now lost 3 in a row, 4 of their last 5 games after winning 4 in a row. So it's one of those things where the Hawks are facing a little bit of adversity again. Now, there is potentially good news. We did see Frank Nazar on the ice for morning skate today, still in a non-contact uniform, but Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill said he is going to practice tomorrow with the team. He won't play on Monday, but then after that, we'll see. And so it looks like Nazar is tracking for a return soon, likely before the Olympic break, which I think that would be a huge boost for the Blackhawks that when you go through waves like this, you could use a guy like Frank Nazar, not just inside the locker room, but on the ice, the impact that he makes.
Yeah, well, the speed first and foremost. And I know he was a little snake bit as far as the goal scoring went. He did get the monkey off his back prior to him getting injured, but it had been kind of a while between goals for him. But, you know, he can kill penalties, and he brings that speed. And then I think you kind of touched on it. I think in the dressing room, he's one of those guys who makes things light, and that helps during a long season. You need guys to, you know, bring a little levity to the dressing room, and I think Frank Nazar certainly does that. So, yeah, that'll be good to see. Obviously not against the Winnipeg Jets, but possibly, quite possibly, down in Carolina, Frankie Nazar makes his return.
Love it. Steve, great stuff as always. Unfortunately, it was a loss to call, but it was a fun night to kind of reminisce on the old times.
Yeah, brought back a lot of memories, a lot of great memories, and who knows, maybe it'll spur these guys on to a new and better level.
I love it. All right, the Blackhawks fall to the Boston Bruins 5-2 on Centennial Celebration Night of the Banner Years Chapter, celebrating the 2010, 13, and 15 Stanley Cup winning teams. Ryan Green scoring the first goal of this game for the Blackhawks. Wyatt Kaiser getting the next one exactly 2 minutes later. But unfortunately, it was Boston Bruins that scored the next 5 goals, and that was all she wrote for the Blackhawks. It was the 6th goal of the season for Ryan Green. How about a zip of a pass by Andre Burakovsky? That was his 20th assist of the year. Ryan Green has been snake bit as of late. And if you remember in the Nashville Predators game last Saturday, the 3-0 victory, Tyler Bertuzzi ended up giving an unselfish play by Bertuzzi to get Ryan Green the empty netter so that he could shed the 19-game goal drought. But this was the first non-empty net goal by Ryan Green since November 30th against the Anaheim Ducks, which was a 5-3 victory. So great to see him find the back of the net. You could tell that was a relief of a celebration that he had, and so hopefully this maybe kind of loosens him up a little bit, and he's able to open up the floodgates moving forward. Let's hear what Ryan Green had to say after this 5-2 loss to Boston.
Jason was talking about it seemed like there was a lot of self-inflicted problems out there for you guys tonight. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, leaving the first period with a 2-0 lead and giving up 5 unanswered, obviously, isn't what we want to do. And, I would say a lot of that was self-inflicted, so that's something we got to fix.
Not the result you wanted, but did it feel good to score one with the goalie in the net?
Yeah, I mean, definitely felt good, but we didn't win the game, and that's the most important thing, so that part sucks.
What was it like for you guys to see the kind of alumni come through? What did they say, you know, when they visited?
Yeah, they're just cheering us on and, you know, saying hello to everybody, obviously. They accomplished a lot when they were here, and it's inspiring for a young group like us to see, you know, what they were able to do here.
Do you feed off that when you see how the crowd reacts to guys who have had so much success in the past year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the ultimate goal for us in here, is we want to win some of those. And like you said, the crowd went pretty crazy for all of them. So, it's cool to see.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Ryan Green talking about this loss, snapping his goal drought with a goalie in the net this time, but also obviously disappointment that the fact that they weren't able to pick up a victory on a special night like tonight, where the Blackhawks were honoring all those Stanley Cup winners. I didn't think that line with Ryan Green, Connor Bedard, and Andre Burakovsky were as noticeable as they usually are together, and the numbers kind of back it up. The Hawks were outshot 8-3 when that trio was on the ice at even strength, but the scoring chances were 10-2 in favor of Boston. So not the performance that we're used to seeing out of them, but they did score that early goal, or that goal in the first period to get Chicago on the board, and really that's all they need. Sometimes all they need is a couple shifts to kind of just turn the game, but unfortunately they weren't able to build on that after that goal in the first period. Jason Dickinson, he wears an A on his sweater as one of the alternate captains for the Blackhawks. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss to Boston.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. We kind of gave them too much. Got a lot off the rush, and that's all generally self-inflicted. So we got to clean that up, do a better job of buying time for numbers to get back to support. They had a lot of 3-on-2, 4-on-2s that just not very typical of us. So, definitely something that we should reflect on.
Is there anything you can point to as to why the offense has really kind of dried up these last 4 or 5 games?
Not one thing in particular. What I do notice, we were playing very predictable, and now it seems we're trying to make one extra move or one extra play, or where we were getting success was crashing the net or pucks low to high, and then just working systematically through that. And a lot of times we're trying to continue with that, but it feels like we're one step away from it, or we're one bounce away, or one guy's reading a little bit differently than the next. So we're just a little bit disconnected, I'm finding. But I don't have an exact reason or answer as to why that is the case. But, it could all stem from just overthinking and trying to do too much and trying to take it upon ourselves instead of just buy into the simpleness that was working.
All right, that was Blackhawks alternate captain Jason Dickinson. I liked what he said there at the end. Like, the Hawks did look disconnected in this game. I don't know exactly what the reason was. He thought maybe they were overthinking, trying to do too much. And maybe when you get in some of these losing skids, I know it's just 2 in a row, or now 3 in a row after this loss, but you maybe lose some of your structure, because when it has been a challenge for the Blackhawks to score goals lately, they had 2 tonight. They had 1 against Calgary. They had just 1 against Edmonton. And obviously they scored 3 against Nashville, but 1 was an empty netter. Then they only score 1 again against the Washington Capitals. I think maybe you start to just get out of your structure and try to create offense on your own. And so maybe that's going to be something that the Blackhawks work on at practice tomorrow, is making sure that they're just trusting their structure overall, and that they don't get away from that moving forward. So, Hawks lose to the Boston Bruins 5-2. That's their third consecutive loss, the Blackhawks, in all 3 in regulation. So, unfortunately, no points to make up for that. And like Steve mentioned earlier, boy, the gauntlet is really coming up here for the Blackhawks schedule, with Winnipeg, Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Minnesota all on the horizon. So, hopefully the Blackhawks are able to turn this around quickly, so they don't fall too far out of a playoff spot and can be playing meaningful games coming out of the Olympic break. What a shot by Wyatt Kaiser for his fifth goal of the season. That now puts him at close to a 10-goal pace. I think that's going to put him now at a 9-goal pace for the rest of the season. And I looked this up earlier. Only 25 defensemen last year scored double-digit goals with 10 or more. So if Kaiser can hit that number, rare-ish company. Now, we see more and more defensemen start to contribute offensively in today's NHL. But, man, that would be nothing to sneeze at if Kaiser can get at the 10-goal mark this year. So nice to see him find the back of the net yet again for his fifth goal of the season. Time now to get to tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Artem Levchinov led the way for the Blackhawks with 25 minutes and 42 seconds of ice time. And I figured he was trending in that direction because through two periods, he had 17:02, which led all skaters by far. So Hawks really relied heavily on him. Wyatt Kaiser, who we just spoke of, finished second on the Blackhawks with 22:48. And then the only other player that finished north of 20 minutes was Connor Bedard at 20 minutes and 48 seconds. Bedard, by the way, finished with 6 shots on goal. So he had 6 of the 24 for the Blackhawks, which led all skaters in this game. Let's hear what Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say as he recaps this 5-2 loss to the Boston Bruins.
Just a little too much sloppiness, self-inflicted tonight?
Yeah, that's what I thought, and that's not taking any away from them. They're obviously on a good roll right now, and they're playing good hockey, and they certainly make it hard on you in two different ways. They have a pretty good kind of stretch/rush game, and they defend pretty hard, but I just thought we had self-inflicted kind of wounds that we didn't need to. Obviously, you got 2 on lead with 5 to play in the second. You walk in, and you're down 3-2, and it was kind of some individualistic mistakes that we just have to be tighter. So we just, in these moments, these games are going to get harder and harder and harder, and we got to make sure that you get rid of any kind of self-inflicted errors.
Is the defenseman being too aggressive in some areas, or is it just being?
I wouldn't say like as a whole. But I think there's finding the balance of when you are aggressive. You got to make sure. I wouldn't say that. Maybe on the one goal, but we got to make sure we're sound with the puck in those times. When we have that, but just a little bit of like carelessness, not a lot, just a little bit of like carelessness, a little bit not quite like good enough in terms of picking people up, things like that.
Obviously, not all the goals were his fault, but do you have any concerns about Arvid, the way he's been playing lately?
Well, I thought he'd given us some good games prior, and he went through a stretch and not, and then he came out of the break, played pretty good. So this was a tough judge tonight, to be honest with you. So I'll just keep, I got belief in him for sure, and he'll play again this coming week on one of these back-to-back games, and I got lots of belief in him.
Jason Dickinson talked about keeping the game simple. Is it hard when the offense is struggling to get 2 or 3 goals a night to coach guys with a lot of skill that are young to try and simplify things?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was necessarily like just, our young guys with skill. Like, it's like all of a sudden, I think when you're pressing a little bit, instead of taking what's given, you're hoping there's an extra play because you want to score. And yes, we haven't scored. It's been hard for us to score. But I think when we found success, we took what's given. Like, when you have opportunities to attack, you have to attack. You can't look for a better play unless that better play is, like, way better, And so there's a balance. There's a balance between all of it. You can't get so simple that you never make a play. I just think we're getting in scoring areas and not shooting it when we can.
Hardy had that stretch where he was attacking the game, as you said, and you said something clicked in him. What will it take to get him back to that with a little bit rougher stretch the past few games?
Well, I think he's attacking it. I think it's the balance now. Like, he was up in the, he had some moments of really attacking it and skating, and now I think it's though, like, you can't give up easy chances while you're doing that. I don't think it's one or the other. Like, I think he can do both. But he's 20 years old. He's trying to figure that out, and that's a hard thing to figure out. So I just think it's a matter of him understanding that if he's going to attack the game, he's got to make sure he's not giving up goals, because you're not going to get rewarded for enough of them if you're just simply giving up easy goals. And I think that some of the ones that have gone in are easily correctable, and they're not because of a risk-reward thing.
You've got games piled up in the schedule. Do you have enough time to teach what you'd like to teach?
Yeah, we got to practice tomorrow. We got to practice at least on Wednesday. We probably won't practice Tuesday, so we got enough time. You know, we have meetings every single game, going through game stuff, and so we got enough time. I mean, you always want more practice, but you know, and then obviously in February we got a long stretch where we got practice, a number of practices coming up. So, you know, some of this too is just learned experience with a number of our guys, and you know, it's you have to go through it sometimes. And as I've said to our group, I'm not worried about mistakes. I'm worried about not learning from mistakes. So we got to make sure we learn from the mistakes.
The Lardas more Donato line seemed to kind of find a groove as the game went on. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I thought they did a pretty good job. You know, I thought they all kind of had a little bit of jump going, and you know, they have a fairly talented group, and I thought they all had a little jump. I thought Morrissey had a lot of jump, to be honest with you, and he kind of was the engine on that line, which I think he's got to be.
All right, that's Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill assessing his team's performance on this 5-2 loss to the Boston Bruins. I thought early on when he mentioned that there were some self-inflicted wounds and he was talking about the individualistic mistakes, kind of felt like that maybe was part of the problem. I think Artem Levchinov had a couple of those in this game tonight where he had the turnover in the offensive zone late in the second period in the final minute to go. And I think just recognizing the situation, I think you want to kind of just see that puck get in deep and just live to get to the locker room still in a 2-2 score, given the fact that the Blackhawks had already blown a 2-0 lead prior. Kind of just get into the intermission, regroup, let it be a tie game, and then kind of come out of that third period. And so Boston ends up going down the other way. They score with 45.9 seconds left to make it 3-2. And those late period goals are real deflators. And then in the third period, Hawks hadn't committed a single minor penalty in the first two periods. Levchinov commits the penalty in the third. Boston capitalizes on the power play to go up 4-2. And, you know, kind of it was an uphill battle from there. So, again, part of the growing process of Artem Levchinov, he was playing some of his best hockey of the season over a couple weeks stretch recently, but he's kind of hit a little bit of a bump in the road these last couple games. And so hopefully if you're Chicago's sake and if you're Levchinov as well, you know, just do what makes you best as a player, but also recognize defensively, you know, not giving up those defensive responsibilities. And so, again, teaching moments that I'm sure the Blackhawks are going to go over with him at practice tomorrow. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Jack Pridham, third rounder for the Blackhawks in 2024, is currently in his second season with the OHL's Kitchener Rangers, and he had a hat trick last night, including an assist for a four-point game. That's his third hat trick of the season. And then the prior game to that, he had two goals. So he now has five goals in his last two games, and he's up to 28 goals in the OHL season, which is second among all OHL skaters. Number one on that list is Merrick Van Acker with 29, who's a Blackhawks first-round pick last year. So how about that? 1-2 in the goals department in the OHL are Blackhawks prospects. Time now to get to tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are back in action Monday night here at the United Center against the Winnipeg Jets, 7:30 puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame show, and it is going to be the return of Jonathan Toews for the first time as a visitor. Now, the Winnipeg Jets, they lost earlier tonight in overtime, so they are now 4-0-1 in their last five games after going 0-7-4 in their previous 11 games. And Jonathan Toews was on an absolute tear. He was, prior to tonight's game, he was on a four-game goal streak after going 26 straight games without a single goal. So clearly he's gotten the puck luck that he wasn't getting during that stretch. And man, I am preparing for a deafening ovation for Jonathan Toews. Now, when Patrick Kane came here as a visitor for the first time, Kane got traded to the New York Rangers and never really got the proper send-off. So no surprise that he got three curtain calls doing some laps around the United Center. I still feel like the reception for Jonathan Toews is just going to be absolutely deafening. Sounds like some of the cup winners that were in the building tonight are staying through Monday so they can experience Taves' return. So that should be a really special night on Monday as the Blackhawks prepare to welcome back number 19 for the first time in a Winnipeg Jets uniform.